Yeah, man, it's great to be here. Great to be here. You know, thank you, Antonio, Sean. Such a blessing to be with you all. So praying for today, I was like, what can I share with everybody? What word have you got, Lord, for the PM congregation tonight? And I just felt like the Spirit telling me, you need to hear about the grace of God. You need to hear about His grace. He just wants to pour out His grace, a word of His grace upon your life tonight. And so just receive, man. And I think the worship was something of that, right? There's such a freedom in this place as we're celebrating the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ amongst us. And I love the fact that Ben got up, grabbed the microphone, or guys let him grab the microphone, and he went for it and just shared, in 2023, or you know, in 20 whatever, when he was 14, I walked away from God. But in 2023, like I came back to God. And I was in substance abuse and whatever, I was on substances or whatever. And you know, look at me. Here I am. I'm free. Praise the Lord. This morning I was, I keep track of stuff. Guys, I'm in touch with what's happening in PE all the time in the region. I often get messages. I'm in touch with certain guys fairly regularly still. My days are actually, to be honest, I'm trying to find a rhythm because they're actually, funnily enough, feeling busier than what I was in PE, which was already because South Africa starts for me at 3:30 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, and that's normally when I'm shutting down and I still work a full day work. So now at 3:30 and my phone goes, my mind is awake till late. One message at Hopperstown coming in from a com meeting over there, I'm like, oh, well, I need to reply to that. It's interesting. So pray for me because my mind is actually more busy than before. I've been quite good at boundaries and been able to switch off a bit, but I'm having to learn a new rhythm, which I actually haven't learned entirely yet. So pray for me on that. But so this morning in East London, actually it was yesterday morning. Sorry, yeah, the days are flying by. I'm still a bit jet lagged. Yeah, it's 4 a.m. for me right now. Something. So then I got chatting to this one guy from Maltina. His name's Georgie. Georgia. I thought it was George, but anyway, somebody told me it's Georgie. I've been calling him George. Anyway, I was chatting to this guy. So I'm like, hey, who are you, man? You know, let me, like, who are you and where are you from? So he said, I'm Georgie from Maltina. I was like, I've heard about you. Eugene Marais told me about you. So I said, but just refresh my memory again. Just tell me your story. You got a story, right? He's like, yeah. I said, how did you come to Christ? And he says, well, I grew up not knowing my dad. My mother basically neglected us as children. She didn't care for us. So I left home as a little boy and became a street kid. I was running around the streets from, I don't know, it's long early, like 8, 9 years old or something. He said, I used to live under a bridge. I lived under a bridge and I dug in bins for my meals. He has this man standing in front of me, this beautiful jersey, well-dressed guy, clean-shaven. His face is clean, pure. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm thinking, how could this be? And well, I know how this can be. This is God's grace. And he's standing here. So I said, George, yeah. And he's like, so I was one of these guys digging bins. And what happened is I had so much hatred in my heart for my father, against my mother. I had hatred against everybody. I didn't have any friends. And if they were my friends, it was only to benefit me. It was only so that I could, at the end of the day, get, you know, a better footing. And they were completely disposable. It's like, so I became a gangster. I robbed people. I hurt people. I went around, he said, I couldn't look people in the eyes. I would look down because if I looked in the eyes, he couldn't. He didn't want to receive love. I said, I didn't want to get anybody looking in my eyes with love because I wanted to hate them. I would go to taverns. I would look for fights. I would break bottles of beer. I waited for... He said, I actually, at one point in my life, in my late teens, early 20s, I wanted people to kill me. I had a death wish. He said, I started getting so depressed that all I wanted to do was to die. So I would hurt other people hoping they would kill me. But it made me more powerful. And then it was like this game of sort of, I'm now more powerful, but kill me because I don't care. And then, so if anybody threatens you, I sort them out. And as this man standing with me in this environment of beautiful people, you know, I'm listening to this man's story, and this is a man who was completely in chains. We talk about being set free of chains. This man was chained with darkness, chained with hatred, chained with rejection. He said, and because I myself was rejected, I recognize immediately where there's rejection. I can see it. I can smell it on people. But he said that, like, what happened is his life just got worse and worse. He said, I could speak perfect English. He's a Xhosa man. He said, I could speak perfect English. But the depression got so intense that I had this, like, dark mass in my brain. He hasn't had a scan for it or anything. He said that's what it felt like, a dark mass in my brain that was growing and growing, that eventually I couldn't actually think properly, that was growing to a point that my brain was being overcome by this dark mass. That's how he describes it. And as this mass sort of grew and grew and grew in his mind, he said, I just became more and more desperate and more depressed. And I had a few fights. The one, he had a man pointing a gun at him saying, I'm going to shoot you. And he said, just do it. Just do it. I don't care. Do it. Do it. The guy had a pistol in his head. He said, I didn't care if I died. And then one day in a bar fight, a guy didn't see him coming. He got hit over the head, back of the head with a pistol. And he fell down. He said, look at my scar. And there's a big scar on the back of his head. And I was lying there unconscious. And my sister was in the tavern as well. And she pulled me out of the tavern unconscious. And when I left that, all I wanted to do was go back and kill this man, because nobody treats me like that. But in that time of recovery, when I was considering all that I was going to do to this man, I got invited to a church meeting. And at that meeting, he ends up hearing the gospel. Yeah. Come on now. That Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And this man, as he says, as this man was beginning to preach the word of God, the gospel, the good news, that God is that God is reconciling the world to himself in Jesus Christ, his spirit began to open. And he said it was like a revival meetings. They had meetings every single night, and he just wanted to go back. And he said what happened is this mass started to disappear out of his head. This dark mass started to disappear. And I was saying he had started to lose his English as this thing had grown. I forgot to complete that part. But it began to disappear, and he said for 3 months, he wept every single day. Because he said God began to give him revelation of his sin. He looked back at his life and he saw all the people that he had hurt, all the people that he had robbed from, all the people that he had lied to, all the people that he had done horrible things to. And he wept and he wept and he wept for 3 months. He said nonstop. Well, when I say nonstop, you know, every time he came into the presence of God, he said he was actually weeping through the day. And after 3 months, he said, you're standing in the one meeting still just weeping, and then the heavens just opened over his life. He said, I felt a peace like I have never felt in my life. A peace, like the Bible says, that passes all understanding. He said, and I felt a love. He said, for the first time in my life, I felt loved. Woo! First time in his life, he felt loved. And from that day, he was never the same again. And today he's a pastor in Maltino, leading a small group of people, I think about 30 people. He's struggling. I tell you, my heart goes out. You know, I'm just sitting there, I'm standing there going, how can I help this man? How can we as Oxygen Life, if you know what you're giving to Oxygen Life, and you're giving your tithes and your offerings, you're giving to this heart, what I'm explaining to you right now. Our heart is to give. Our heart is to see people like this. And we can't solve all the problems in the world. But we got to get men like this with a gospel story out into the uttermost parts of the world. Or the Eastern Cape. Anyway, that's another story. That's the burden that I just carry when I hear stories like this. With these ministers of the gospel. I said, how are you doing financially? He said, hey, just pray for me. It's tough. I got my wife, 2 children, and Maltina is not doing well economically. Chatted to somebody else the day. They said, Maltina's a one-horse town, and the horses left the town. It's, but he has this man, living by faith, preaching the gospel, that has saved his life. And what is that gospel? It's the love of God. Grace is an intrinsic attribute of God. It is, in a sense, it's actually God himself in his dynamic, uncreated being. Grace isn't just something outside of God. Grace is God coming in that very means of love and forgiveness that cleanses you and washes you. He's found in that thing. And then he clothes you with a grace that takes you out of your depression. It takes you out of your substance addictions. It takes you out of, as the men have been on this porn course recently, this Conquer series, it takes you out of your addictions to other things because you've seen something. You've beheld that there's a God who loves you. There's a God who's so beautiful and so pure and so righteous and so admirable that you want to live your life with him in mind. I'll be honest, I've been calling on the Lord for healing since I was literally in the hospital being sick, even to... Because why? Because I know who my God is. I know what he's done. I've heard the stories. I've seen stuff. God can, in Australia, we heard recently somebody didn't have a stomach. God gave them a stomach. Like they didn't have a stomach and they got given a stomach. I mean, God can heal me right now if he wants to. Like, and if I'm healed or not healed, it doesn't change who I believe him to be because he's gracious and he's kind and he's loving. If I don't get healed, I still know he heals, and I'll pray for anybody for healing today, yeah? Even with me and my cracked ribs and whatnot, because I know God is so good. He's so good. He's worthy of praise. We don't have to be healthy for him to be worthy. I don't have to have healed ribs tonight to declare to you that the goodness and loving kindness of God has appeared to us in Jesus Christ. Nobody ever has to get healed again for God to be good. If you're holding an offense towards God because somebody wasn't healed or somebody died when you didn't think they should die, you need to release that because God is bigger than that. God is bigger than that. You are limiting the grace of God flowing to your life because you're holding a judgment against God that you have no idea about. God's ways are higher than your ways, higher than the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways higher than yours. His thoughts higher than yours. He's good no matter what bad stuff happens on this planet. He is good. He's separate to all the bad stuff actually that takes place. He is in and of itself. He is grace. God is gracious. Come on. He's so good. John 1:16 says, from his fullness we have all received, he's talking about the children of God, grace upon grace. From his fullness. I love that. From his fullness. There's a fullness of God. He's full. I didn't even know how to fully describe that. But just picture something just absolutely overflowing like our dams at the moment, right? God is full of every awesome attribute you can think of, and he is in essence, those things himself, not like in some weird way, he is the person of these things. He's to be admired in his graciousness. God's kindness is because of God's kindness. It's because of God's kindness. It is, Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, so that you cannot boast. That guy, Georgie, he did not deserve God's grace in as much as what actually I didn't. And I grew up a pastor's kid. My sin, just as much to condemn me to hell as what his was. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we'll be dancing in the frontier. Because some of us think we may be a little bit more worthy of forgiveness than others. And that alone is a lie of the enemy so deep that you'll never come into understanding his grace. You need to know that you are utterly detestable in God's sight outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you weren't, you could have got to heaven outside of Jesus. And there was no point for God to send Jesus. God sent Jesus into this world because this whole world has been seeded with sin. This whole world is deserving of the wrath of God. And you, friend, are deserving, utterly deserving, of the wrath of God. Of God to show no need to show any kindness toward you, but to condemn you to eternity outside of his presence because of rebellion, because of pride, because of arrogance, because of disobedience, because of what? Fill in the gap. And those sins are just as bad as Georgie's, in whatever shape or form they looked. And the Bible says we were born in it. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the grace. It's that gift. And God wants me to, just telling me to remind you tonight, we've been given this great and indescribable gift of grace through his son Jesus. And it's from his fullness. And we've received grace upon grace. And just when you think that I've received enough grace, he gives you even more grace. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'm so pumped. I get so excited about this. Come on. I just pray that I can dance till I'm 80 or however long the Lord, if he wishes me to die. Because, and I know I'll be more and more and more and more uncool to everybody. But I don't care. I don't care about what anybody thinks about me dancing. I'm 51. I should be a bit mature by now. I don't care. I'm not dancing for you. I'm dancing for him. I'm lifting my head, my gaze into heaven. I'm thinking about these things. I'm thinking about how much grace I've received in the Lord. And my heart is overflowing with gratitude. We just need to see him. His grace is immeasurable. Ephesians 2:7. In the coming ages, Paul says, he will show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I love it. His grace is immeasurable. It's rich. And how's this? There's a kindness that is towards us. Oh, man. If we can get that into our heads, I tell you what, man, we'll live victoriously in holiness and righteousness. You want to live a holy life? Know how much God's grace is towards you. Got that. A holy life. Know how much his grace is towards you. Not an unholy life. Oh, yeah, God just excuses my sin. I can go and do whatever I want. And I just got a badge of grace. Grace isn't a badge. Grace is a person. Grace is God coming to pour his lavish, his love upon you, like wrap you and envelope you and enable you to worship, not just on a Sunday, to worship tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Amen. Oh, and we need to turn each other's gaze and eyes to the grace of God. Those that aren't seeing it, we need to try and lift up the weak and the feeble need. It's not talking about literally weak and feeble. It's the weak and feeble in spirit who are failing to see how much God has lavished his grace upon their lives. And those caught in sin, so gently come and correct them with mercy, to correct them and to try to bring them into a place that will see the grace of God to cause them to live holy lives. But we don't forget that we ourselves are in need of this grace, that we ourselves are living by it. And so it seeds every word that comes from us. We consider our words, we consider how much what comes from our mouths. You know, what is the fire that comes from? Is it fire to set ablaze something that is opposite to God's nature, or something that sets fire in people's hearts to obey him, to love him? Amen. PM, are you with me, guys? His grace is towards us. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 103:11 says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Woo! Come on. His grace surpasses knowledge. Oh man, we're going to be blown away. Ephesians 3:17-19. He talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ. It surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know why you meet at communities every single week? Do you know why you meet together as brothers and sisters? We meet together to see the height, the depth, the length of the love of God that he has for us in Christ. We remind each other. Remember. Remember when... What? What's that song we were just singing? Remember our God has never failed us. Oh, it's beautiful. That's why we meet. And that's why you got to be in community. Because you and I forget. On our ownsome and our lonesome, we forget. The enemy has schemes. He comes against us. Next minute you're believing, oh God, I don't even know if I believe you anymore. But you need to have brothers and sisters around you to remind you. You need to have the Bens getting up and saying, I remember 2023. And then you're standing, chatting to a guy who looks like he's just any other guy, Georgie, and it turns out he's a pastor of a church in Maltina and got saved out of being a street kid and a gangster. What does it do for you? I mean, what does that story do for you? I'll tell you what it does for me. It makes me want to worship. It makes me more in love with God. It makes me think about a love that surpasses knowledge. You show me one psychologist type meeting that can do that to a street kid dude who's out. How many psychology meetings do you think he's got to have? Like, what epiphany does he has to come to in one psychology meeting, in one meeting? And I don't want to praise God for psychologists, praise God for the journeys that take people on, and there's wholeness that comes from that. But a changed life in a moment. 3 months of repentance because he's hearing a message that's otherworldly. Woo! Come on. The guy becomes this conduit from which we see the love of God, being rooted and grounded in love. He says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with the saints. You've got to be in a body. If you're here tonight, you're not stuck into a church. Get stuck into a church. Why? It's because you have to? No, so you can see how great God's love is. You join a church, or not join a church, you add it to a church because God wants you to come into a bunch of people who are standing in awe of God. Not just on a Sunday. Every day they're seeking to know him. I tell you a bit of my personal journey. I'm pressing in to see what the early church saw in Acts. I'm pressing in. I tell you, there's no way. The Aussies, they don't want to hear what you got to say. Generally, I need the power of God. I'm desperate for the power of God. I'm desperate. I need to be more desperate. I'm saying it from the front. I need to be more desperate. Okay. His grace is lavish. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. That word lavished is the word parousia. It means to superabound, to be in excess, to cause to excel, and to have more. So we've been through his blood, okay? We have forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he superabounded upon us. Guys, if it were not for God's grace, I couldn't be holding this microphone, sharing this with you. And the same goes for every single one of you. It's not about holding a mic, just standing, worshiping in God's presence. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at this beautiful picture of God's grace in Psalm 103:13-14. As a father has compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you're here tonight and you're like Ben. You grew up in the church of you've known God for a long time. But he had a prodigal son 9 years, from 14 to 23. He strayed from God. But at 23, he came back and God was there. Maybe you've strayed. Come back to a father who wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to love on you. And for those of us who've been with the Lord all this time, he would say what he said to the prodigal son's brother. He says, didn't you know everything like I have is yours? For those of us who are not prodigals, whatever, you just say, thank you, Lord, that I can dance and sing because I am free. Amen? Amen. His grace, listen to this. This is why I also can preach this with such confidence. Hebrews 13, verses 9. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. Hebrews 13, verses 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Eh? It is good for your heart to be strengthened by the grace of God. Take strength today as I'm speaking, as the word of God is coming from me and from the Lord's heart. Take strength. You have to take it in. Say, oh, Lord, I take it in, Lord. I take it in. Oh, man, I'm aware of the time here, but yeah. You know, maybe I don't actually want to be ending on a negative, in a sense. Not a negative, but like a, I really want to be, I feel the Lord saying, you must be strengthened today. But I do want to say this, that you can resist the grace of God. You can. There's teaching out there that says the grace of God can't be resisted. It's not biblical, actually. I don't believe this. The grace of God can be resisted. There's ample room, there's ample telling of that in the Bible. You need to continue in the grace of God. Acts 13, Paul urged the people who had just come to Christ to continue in the grace of God. Paul reminds the church in Corinth. He says, I want to remind you, 1 Corinthians 15:1, brothers, of the gospel, the good news I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So in other words, if you're not standing fast, if you're not actually holding fast to the word of the gospel that was preached to you, actually, that gospel is, in a sense, in vain. It's like God is there with all this lavishness, with all this awesomeness, and you're actually keeping him at bay. You need to continue to let that grace come into your life, and that you can then be empowered by it, and not just empowered, but just be in awe of who the Lord is. Second Corinthians 6, verse 1, Paul says, working together with him, that is God, okay, with Jesus, working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And I would say, how do we receive the grace of God in vain? It's when we fail to let it work out in our lives in a means of fruitfulness. And it means where we would worship the Lord with our lives. When we fail, when we stop desiring holiness, I believe we've stopped the flow of grace. Because when the flow of grace is working through our lives, it's making us more like Jesus. Because it's God in grace, and God can't embrace ungodliness. So he's going to, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one bringing that grace into our lives. And he is not the evil spirit, not the bad spirit, not the dark spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will continue then to work through our lives. And so maybe tonight you've seen something of that. And even as I'm preaching, you're like, yes, yes, yes. But you know that in an area of your life, there's a continual embracing of darkness and not of his grace. Well, you actually, in that sense, receive it in vain. You say, Lord, I just receive it today and just pick me up, Lord. Pick me up, God. Let me keep walking in you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, I think I've said this quite a lot in the church, but I'll tell those of you who don't know, maybe you've forgotten, but next week we'll release an elder, I'm just trying to think. Yeah, two elders in the life of the church. Every elder that's been released in the life of the church, I've given, on behalf of you, the church, a gift to them. The ladies generally get something nice, and the guys they get a pocket knife. And that pocket knife has got an inscription on it. And it's Acts 20, verse 32. I don't know if I got that in my notes. And it was, there's reason why I give this, because I really believe that it's an absolute key to their eldering. That it's an absolute essential foundation block to the eldering. That they would never forget the scripture, that it would be etched, not just on the pocket knives that they get, but on their spirits. Because this was Paul speaking to elders back 2,000 years ago of a church in Ephesus, a city called Ephesus. And he had a short moment of time with these elders before he was never to see them again. He gave them this commission amongst a whole lot of other things that he said to them. This was one of the little paragraphs out of what he said to them. He blessed them. He commissioned them. He spoke over them. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace," which is all that I've been speaking about and a whole lot more, right? Unsearchable, that we can continue talking about it. "And to the word of his grace." It's undeserving, guys. Okay? "And this word is able to build you up." So if you want to know how to just get built up in your faith, you need to look at the word of God's grace. "And that word of God's grace is able to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." In other words, you guys are all those who are sanctified. If you are a leader in this church, spend time meditating on what the grace of God is. Then you can be a leader here. Not only that, no, I shouldn't say then you can. You might not have a leadership gift. But, you know, God will use you. God's called every one of us to make disciples, right? If you're going to make an effective disciple, if you want an inheritance among God's people, you need to be committed to understanding this word of his grace for the rest of your life. And here's the thing, to understand the word of his grace, you've got to realize your own sinfulness as well all the time. Because it's as I realize and recognize my weakness and inadequacy and unworthiness before God, and yet in humility receive his grace, I deal with you in the same way. That's the servant leaders that God's called us to have. That's the servant saints that God's called us to be. Not these high and mighty claimed believers who like just going around like I'm the head and not the tail, and we're just so proud and arrogant ourselves that we cannot actually just recognize that we are infinitesimally small little specks on this universe. It didn't deserve God's grace, and he's given it to us, and we treat each other with that humility. Amen.